You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Mark 11, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into a village opposite you. And as soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you," perfect, "why are you doing this?" say, "the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here immediately after he has done with it." I'm reading the Amplified. So they went away and found the colt tied at the door outside of the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt, the donkey?" They replied to them, "Just as Jesus had directed," and they allowed them to go. They brought the donkey to Jesus. Let's drop down to verse 9. Verse 9 is Jesus' mighty entry into Jerusalem. And what we see here is a people group, specifically in Jerusalem, who perceived who he was and who he is. However, everyone has an expectation when Jesus is in the room. And even if we have proper knowledge of who Jesus is, sometimes our expectation can go against exactly what Jesus wants to do. And they started spreading their leafy branches. That's what these palms represent. And they laid them on the passage in the pathway to Christ. And as Christ entered to the city, they spread their coats on the road. Others scattered layers of leafy branches. Those who went in front of those were following him. But here's the key part that shares the perception of how these people saw Jesus. They were shouting in joy and praise, "Hosanna, save, I pray. Blessed, praised, glorified is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem with a people group acknowledging his connection to the Old Testament, to the reign of the kingdom that he once had. But like we said earlier, the desire and expectation was for Jesus. They had the right person, but Jesus had a different approach. They had the right person, but Jesus had a different approach. I want to talk to you from the subject, what are you waving at? Look at a neighbor to the left or right and say, "What are you waving at? What are you waving at?" Dr. Marshall was already in my sermon. What are you waving at? Find somebody. Y'all ain't listening to me. Find somebody and wave at them. What are you waving at? They say expectation is the breeding ground for miracles, but sometimes the root of our expectation is rooted in more in our gain, our selfish ways, or our perspective and desires of what we think we want Jesus to do versus leaving space open to him for Jesus to do whatever he wants to do. Some scholars and historians also say in this text that Jesus, when arrived into the city of Jerusalem, if you read later on in the verse, he gets off the donkey, or he's on the donkey, the colt, and he literally stares and looks around everything. And the Bible's not that much details in the Bible, but when there's details in the Bible, it's because the writers want us to understand specifically what had happened. And it says that Jesus did not leave until he looked at everything. So everything that was praising him, Hosanna, the highest of heaven, all the crowds that were looking, he looked at everything around him and then he departs. And everybody was like, "What? Aren't you supposed to be the king?" They probably were ready to go attack the Romans, or they were probably ready to go take over the government or do something in that moment now that their king has arrived. And key note is, it was their king, but their king had a different message and a different objective. And I'm up here today, not just for us to reflect and rehearse what's in the word, but I want us to put this and modernize this into our relationship with God and say right now and think right now, what are we expecting God to do, and where have we potentially gotten our expectations wrong? And on this Palm Sunday, I want us to rehearse what's in our heart and even our devotion to God. And I want to ask you, is the time in your prayer closet spent on what you want from God, or is it spent on spending time with God? And it's nothing wrong with wanting anything from God, but I want us to look at our heart posture on this Palm Sunday, because it's a holy day, and maybe we can rinse it a little bit or even repent and get our mind frame back ready to realizing that when you spend time with a dad, a good dad, all of a sudden he says, do you want something? You don't really have to ask a good father that much. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom. But a good father, the more you hang around them, the more you get like a new tie or a new clothes. Or you might get a car when you turn 16. Or you might get something for your birthday just because it's your birthday. You can have bad grades, but that family is still gonna bless you for your birthday. Why? Because just being around a good father, there's an indirect blessing that flows from that relationship. So why are we spending most of our time with our list asking God for all these things? There's nothing wrong with knocking and asking versus going back to the root of spending time with him. Everyone say King Jesus. In order for us to understand the sacredness of Palm Sunday on this special day, we must make this text now, not then. But we can rehearse the glory moments, and I plan on doing it, and I pray we get blessed by that. But let's look at this. Look to your neighbor one more time and say, what are you waving at? In Mark 11:1-4, of the beginning of as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, there's so many people honoring him from the place of revelation of their reflection, meaning that they understood what King David is. They had a prophecy that some great ruler would come through the line of David and free them. This was a people group that was under Roman government where they were not allowed to worship freely as they used to. They would be punished for not paying taxes and all these different things. And this is a group that used to have a king, but now is under an emperor and an empire. What their holy city and their holy practices that they were used to has been stripped away. Now that we know that feeling, now let's see why they had such a great expectation for Jesus to change their situation. They had such a great expectation for Jesus to change their situation. Have you ever wanted God to do something, but he didn't do what you wanted him to do? Have you ever wanted God to do something, but he didn't do what you wanted him to do? Instead, he did what he wanted himself to do. You end up getting blessed by it as a byproduct. And sometimes his blessings, you don't even have full revelation of how good he is until later on. You're still mad at God for 3 years until that blessing kicks in. You're like, oh, thank you for that job that laid me off. It took 3 years to get over the disappointment, but now you finally are mature enough to give him back praise. You're finally growing up a little bit and you're like, you know what? I'm thankful that that relationship did not work out for my good. Since I'm here and I'm mature now in my emotions, let me give God some back praise. Let me give God some back praise. Now that I realize that it all worked out for my good, for real, for real. Look to your neighbor and say, for real, for real. I need to give God some back praise. You know what? This was not part of the sermon, but I feel like there's some back praisers who owe God a back praise. You forgot that your heart done healed up. You don't need X, Y, and Z no more. And it's Palm Sunday. Jesus has entered the room and said, don't praise me for what I did this morning. Praise me for what I got you out of in college. Praise me for what I got you out of 3 years ago. Praise me for what I got you out of last month. You owe me some back praise. You owe me some back praise. Woo! Because when you were in that situation, you were overwhelmed and disillusioned and you did not know what was going on and all the things were happening at the same time and your life was in a ramble and you were going crazy. But now that your head stopped spinning, look how far you have come. Now that your head stopped spinning, look at where he brought you out. And you owe him a back praise. Coming, kingdom our father David, Hosanna in the highest heaven. So what are they expecting him to do? How did they feel? What did the people people see or desire in that moment from Jesus? Who did they know and understand Jesus to be? The people shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, for me, that cry sounds similar to the blind man who perceived who Jesus was, and he found out where he was without seeing. And in Luke 18 and 35, someone say, then it happened. Someone say, then it happened. Then there's always a space in your life that's a moment. It's a moment of glory. It's a moment where Jesus shows up or you perceive that Jesus is in the room. It's a moment where you stop looking at the preacher and you don't care about all the things you got on. It's a moment in the sermon where you think about the divorce you got out of. It's a moment when you thought about the cancer doctor's notice, but you're still in the earth. It's a moment in service when you're not listening to the lyrics of the song because there's a sound of praise in the room. There's a moment. Someone say, then it happened. As he was coming near Jericho, there's a certain blind man that sat by the road begging. This blind man needs money. He lives his whole life blind, needing money. Someone say, but keep perception alive. And hearing a multitude passing by, he was begging, but he heard a whole bunch of footsteps. His ears are sensitive because his eyes can't see. Some of us are dealing with some things in our life. There's no vision in that area. But God's saying, keep your ears sensitive because Jesus can still pass by something that you cannot see him moving in. He's hearing the multitude passing by, according to Luke 18, 35 to verse 38. But he asked what it meant. I hear rumbling. I hear footsteps. I hear chatter. I hear people trying to do X, Y, and Z. What's going on? He said they started telling him. They told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out. He took advantage of the moment of passing. Sounds like the woman with the issue of blood. People touching Jesus while he's passing. Some of you all so bougie, you want Jesus to stop for you. You better learn how to serve a God who's passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David. Oh, revelation. Not just Jesus. These are people who connect the dots to theology. These are people who recognize him as a king. Jesus, Son of David, someone shout, have mercy on me. The blind man was begging, but he perceived that there was a better move in the room than money. He perceived that in this moment, I don't need money right now. In this moment, I'm not gonna beg like I usually beg. I usually prioritize finances, but Jesus is in the room and something can happen that's bigger than money. Something can happen that's not about my business. He perceived that this is somebody who can give me eyes. He perceived that something better than money was in his radius. Someone say, I need something from God that only God can do. Is there anyone who needs something from God this morning that only God can do? Not a negotiation strategy can do. Not a hustle can do. Not a can do. Does anybody need something from God on Palm Sunday? What are you waving at? Are you waving at what's in his hand? Or are you waving at what's in his character? You don't have to ask your daddy for that much on this Sunday. If you would just open up your mouth and praise him, he'll reach in his pocket and say, girl, do you want some of this? Son, do you need some of this? You're asking God for something that's already in his character. I need something from God that only God can do. So our focus this Palm Sunday is the timing where God, people knew who Jesus was. I want us to look at these reflections of these personality traits. Think about the typologies of people I just brought out. These were people who knew of who Jesus was, but also aligned of who they knew who Jesus was and what he was doing, but they aligned who Jesus was to their understanding of what should come. So they always said, Jesus, Son of David. They perceived that this was a king in their hearts. They realized that this is a man who should be celebrated and acknowledged. And Revelation 1 and 8, it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is, say that last part with me, who is and who was, come on, and who, come on, who
And who?
The Almighty. So who he is, who he was, who is to come. That means there's character traits of Jesus that are different than they are now, but they're the same even though they were then. Because the outcome's still the same, but the strategy may be different. That's why you gotta learn how to evolve in your relationship with Christ. See, you done left Jesus in VBS. You done left Jesus in vacation Bible school, not realizing that Jesus can upgrade his salvation in your life and you can have a different relationship equity with the Christ, same Christ. He's more than a key that just gets you into heaven. The blind man said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Several translations, it highlights the word, have compassion on me. So this is a God that's feelings are touched. The feelings of our feelings are touched with our affirmations are touched with his feelings, meaning that he can empathize and sympathize with what's going on in our life. This is a different type of art of worship. This is not a Buddha. This is not a any other statue. This is not Hinduism, where statues don't have flesh. Statues can't feel. Statues can't cry. Statues can't talk back to you. They have to stand in their own aura and stay there as you bring your sacrifices and offerings. This is a flesh corpse. This is a God inside of a body that can cry, that can get mad, that can get upset, but not be upset. It's a real God inside of a body that you can ultimately still have a relationship. His body's so important that God made sure it was missing after his death, which means Jesus in heaven is still touched by you. Who he is, who he was, who's come. Blessed is the Lord. But my first point is we got to understand that this King Jesus and each of these scriptures I just mentioned is just Jesus the King in hiding. His ministry's not open yet. It's not an open door policy. These miracles we just celebrated and I accidentally got too excited about, this is Jesus while he's hiding his ministry. This is Jesus the King in hiding. We discover a savior in hiding. We see that this savior is working miracles on the down low. But he's working miracles on the down low because people's faith keep pulling it out of them. He's trying to stay focused, but who's touching me? He's trying to focus on Jewish people, but who's this Canaanite woman negotiating with me? He's trying to go to the centurion's house. Who is this Roman officer perceiving who I am, telling me to speak a word? Who's this people group that I wasn't focused on keep pulling faith out of me? It's not my time to work my ministry. Mom, leave me alone. You want me to turn water to wine? Mom, come on. That's a bougie miracle. But because you told the service in faith, do whatever he tells you to do. I already told my mama no, but when a woman has faith, I already told that woman no. But when a woman has faith, Swatter, make some noise in this place. I already told you no, but because you negotiated in faith, I guess you're right, the dogs get the crumbs that's on the floor. And the same blessing that's in the loaf is in the crumbs. And I'll give you the crumbs, daughter, since you know how to negotiate in faith. You wasn't moved by my insults. You wasn't in your feelings too much to negotiate in faith. You know how to work a yes into a God's no. Who am I talking to? You know how to work a yes in a season that God's saying no. Someone shout, give me my yes. Here we find a blind man that can't see, but knows and acknowledges God. I call this man the man who sees but can't see. But there are others who Jesus instructs not to tell anyone, just like the blind man. He does the miracle of Jairus' daughter, says he clears the room and says, don't tell nobody, I'm just a king in hiding. Heals the two blind men, don't tell nobody, I'm just a king in hiding. Ooh. He
He's working out so many miracles. He's connecting the dots of his deity to his passion and desires for change in human society. Although it's not time for him to act like he's a bougie king right now, God has not glorified. He's so humble that he won't magnify himself, Dad. Jesus paints the perfect picture of leadership. He doesn't, he's not self-approved. He has no marketing agency. He's not posting on his social media, Bishop. Jesus is allowing the people who he tells not to say anything to spread the gospel. Because when glory shows up, everybody starts talking. You don't gotta promote nothing. You don't gotta work nothing. When glory shows up in your business, when glory shows up on your album, you don't gotta have that much marketing money, Mr. Baby. Glory's in your voice.
We land here, we discover a savior in hiding. Someone who knows who he is, give God a praise right now. Some, going back to Jerusalem as Jesus enters, some people are thinking about who he is. Some are still learning who he is, and others are wondering who he is. But we find these blind men in Matthew 9 and 27 and verse through verse 31 of the Amplified Version, in Matthew 9, 27 through 31, it says, two blind men followed him. Here's another thing again, screaming loudly. It's okay, it's not for everybody. Everybody don't need Jesus like these blind men. Screaming loudly. Here we go, screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on us. This is a people group who is used to understanding their relationship with Jehovah through Old Testament law. Why would they use the word compassion? Because they can see that God is now a person. Oh, y'all, not everybody track that. So they're recognizing the deity of the Father and the Son. And they recognize that normally God doesn't have compassion. We have to follow every law. We have to do everything right. We have to sacrifice everything. But something in their spirit, even though they were blind, they felt in faith that maybe this God can care for me. And some of us are too scared to ask God about anything. You think you mess your life up and you don't deserve to ask God for compassion. Someone shout, God, give me some compassion this season. And Jesus went on from there. The two blind men followed him, screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on me. Here we go, Son of David. Prophetic perception shows up in verse 28. When he went into the house, the blind man came up to him. First of all, so powerful, blind people just finding him. And you weren't by eyeballs on your business. Blind people finding Jesus. He went into the house. Blind men came. Who? It didn't say the blind men were escorted. The blind men found the glory. Someone shout, money cometh. See, you don't know how it's going to come. But if the blind can find a savior. It's not about money, but I just want to say that to you, somebody who's believing God. Verse 28, he went to the house, the blind man came up to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe? Here we go. The Amplified says, with deep and abiding trust that I'm able to do this. They said to him, yes, Lord. The power of prophetic perception. Here we have two blind men who can't see but can see. And because they can see spiritually who Jesus is, they can seize spiritually who Jesus is. And because they can see who Jesus is, they can seize who Jesus is. So the two blind men followed him, screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on us. They got their faith together. Someone say where two or three are gathered. So say, if you can't see and I can't see, as long as both of us aren't complaining, but both of us are expecting Jesus to do something. We may be in the same situation, but if you want to get out and I want to get out, and we're going to hate on each other if one of us gets out or not, they have revelation of who Jesus is. In verse 30, it says, their eyes were opened up. He touched their eyes. He touched their eyes. He touched their eyes. And Jesus said to them, do you believe? Do you believe with a deep abiding trust that I'm able to do this? Do you believe? Not is the music good in the church? Not is the preacher good? Do you believe that what's coming out of his mouth can work in your life? I'm trying to raise your faith up today. I'm trying to raise up your faith over your feelings, because many of us have gotten hit with stones of life and it causes us to be in our feelings and now we're in strife with God. But you can believe. Someone say, I believe that on Palm Sunday,
Jesus can do something that I never seen done before. Give him praise for that. And verse 30, their eyes were open and Jesus sternly warned them. Someone say, Jesus the King in hiding. Verse 30, see that no one knows this. But they went out and spread the news anyway. We see here Jesus the King in hiding. Jairus' daughter in Mark 7, 31. They brought a man who was deaf. Let's focus on the deaf real quick. No, we see here that there was another beggar, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on someone who was deaf and had difficulty speaking. He speaks in Aramaic, epatha. Epatha means be opened and released. The glory that was on Jesus had the ability to open up deaf ears and release least stuck tongues. In verse 35, it says, and his ears were open and his tongue was released and he began speaking plainly. Jesus commanded them because he's just a king in hiding. He commanded them, don't tell no one that I just made a mute person talk. Don't tell nobody that I made someone who's deaf can hear. I'm working my miracles because the people's faith keep pulling on me. They're not staying stuck in their feelings. They keep having revelation of who I am. And even though it's out of my timing for me to share all my ministry because I'm trying to stay in hiding so that I don't become crucified too early, but the faith that's in the room, the faith that's in these people, it keeps pulling it out of me. We see here a people group. I know we are in modern day society where we understand the understanding of depression. Leave them alone, they're depressed. Mental health is a sensitive issue, but I can't imagine that they were in the plight of society that we were in, some of them wouldn't receive their breakthrough because their doctor's report and their medical history tells them it's okay to stay laying down in it. But you have a people group who don't have the privilege of bougie mental health symptoms right now. This is a people group who says, I'm deaf and I can't hear, but I'm going to, and the crazy part is, he didn't ask them to bring him to Jesus. These are people who perceive problems that wasn't even their concern and brought somebody else who was mute. He couldn't ask for help. They brought him to Jesus. We're asking y'all to bring people to church on a whole new life Sunday. This is the type of stuff that creates revival. When you bring people overwhelmed in problems into the glory cloud. When you bring people who are hurting or down, we don't leave them down. Well, I'm not mute, I'm not deaf. No, let me take you to Jesus. I'm not blind. No, let me take you to Jesus. And we're presenting this week a way that Jesus can be so powerful this week in our service with what we're believing God to do. You need to bring somebody who's hurting, who needs a miracle to our church. Jesus was trying his best in these examples that I'm mentioning to remain a secret. But the people of that days, their faith in him kept finding him, causing his deity to jump into their situation.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.